Blog Talk Radio.
Always speaking free, never censoring, watching me, and we rise to our feet, abolish tyranny, if our goals are to bring the peace. Open the ears, your eyes and your brain, the light all around us, don't need to strain, all of this wild we call the true train, a one-way trip from everything to gain.
War, destroy, all that is lost in our nation.
Hey, hey, this is Liberty Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Truth Train. I'm very excited about my special guest today. It's my uncle, Lanny Pearson, and I'm very blessed to have been a part of his testimony in his life where he's actually been able to beat cancer naturally. See if this is him on the line. Lanny, is that you?
That's me. Hi there.
Hi there, Uncle Lanny. How are you?
I'm just doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Fabulous. I'm super excited to get an update from you. I guess we should start from the beginning though, huh? For those who haven't heard your story yet.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Well, I was admitted to the hospital in Denver on September 10th, 2011. And hopefully this isn't redundant for the people who listened in last time, but it's just mainly an update. I was diagnosed the very next day with stage 2 esophageal cancer. And at that time, they had a port implanted in my chest for infusion. And we got together with our oncologist at that time. He told us that it was a very aggressive cancer and that we should have chemo and radiation starting immediately. And with the help of a wonderful young lady by the name of Lisa, my wife and my son, Christopher, that would be you.
Sorry about that. I got disconnected for a second. I'm sorry. It actually booted me out of the show. Did you know I was gone?
No.
Oh. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Okay, let's see. My wife and my son Christopher and Lisa, we did a lot of soul searching as well as fact finding. And at my age at the time was 75, I would have had a less than chance for a full recovery. So collectively, we decided to beat the cancer alternatively with diet, rest, and exercise. Since that day in 2011, I've shrunk the tumor from a 7.9 to right at 3.0, which is more than half.
That's great.
Right. And again, it was done with the big three, the rest, the diet, and exercise. I will do another endoscopy in late July to see at that time where the tumor actually is in size. And my life has changed 100%. I now get the proper rest. I have a very manageable diet, and I exercise 3 times a week with a treadmill and a bouncer, the bouncer being for lymph node health. I have no meat, no dairy. That includes cheese, my favorite, pizza. and no yeast, and the list just goes on and on. It is simply a matter of focus and fortitude that carries me through from day to day. That's my story.
Wow.
I'm sticking to it.
Wow. Well, wow, I didn't know it was down to 3 centimeters. Now, isn't it calcified as well, right?
Yes. What happens is that it calcifies and then just goes through your system.
Okay. So basically it's no longer a harm to your body, but you're officially not over until it's completely gone.
That's true. Yeah, it is a matter of crushing the tumor. Now, I have an infusion 4 days a week. It's 3 to 5 hours, depending on what we set it at, for the saline and also peroxide.
You mean the baking soda?
Baking soda and peroxide. I do peroxide at night, right? But the baking soda goes in to crush the tumor, and that's what happens to the calcification process. It just it crushes it, and then it just goes through your system, and you're rid of it without any surgery. When I was in Colorado, they needed to go in after I did the chemo and the radiation and cut out the rest of it. Well, that once they open you up to cut it out, it spreads like wildfire. They can never get all of it. So that was our deciding decision that we made, not having any of that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true. And once you also open a body, it never goes back to normal as well. And a lot of people don't realize that. Surgery is not a small deal. It's a life-changing deal. You can get new infections inside of your body. You could, you know, heal strangely. You can never be the same, possibly, from any sort of surgery. So that's why it is a really serious decision for, you know, going under the knife. Even though it sounds
right,
like a lot better than, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, and that really can be worse if just depending on, you know, the outcome of it.
Right. Absolutely.
So, wow. So, well, I know I went over and spent some time with you guys at your house, and indeed, you know, you were putting together, you know, blending shakes with I remember there's lots of avocado in there, and I'm trying to remember what else. Yeah, you do a lot of avocado. Don't you do like 5 a day?
Yes, I initially lost 51 pounds of the that week that I was in the hospital. I lost 51 pounds, and I've only put on 5 of it. But according to my cancer coach, the avocado is what's going to put some weight back on my body. And I usually have anywhere from 2 to 3 of those a day. So
okay,
we're on the right track, right?
Oh, good, good. Well, you know, I know to the listeners this probably sounds pretty radical. No meat, no sugar, no dairy and all that, but it's worked. You know, and really, if you look at the choices, you can spend tens of thousands of dollars, your life savings, on chemotherapy, which is actually a cancer causer. And basically, when chemotherapy is put into your body, they're so careful with handling it that they've got gloves and masks, and they incinerate the bottles for injecting it. I mean, everything's incinerated because it's so toxic and so dangerous, yet we're putting this directly into humans. It's killing both the normal and abnormal cells, so it's basically just kind of wiping out the entire system. There's nothing in the system then to rebuild. Now, some people use a natural therapy, you know, eating fruits and vegetables and all that, in addition to their chemotherapy, which you can do, but you have to keep in mind, chemotherapy damages your body permanently. I mean, your body is just not the same. Your brain is not the same afterwards. And so that's a huge risk to take. Now, didn't you know some people, Uncle Lanny, who actually went through traditional therapy and didn't make it?
Well, yeah, my mother did. She had a double mastectomy, and this was back when they didn't have a lot of the high-tech things that's available today. But, you know, once the cancer gets a hold and it has the upper hand, you know, reversing it is very, very difficult. But I'm a true believer that the physicians today, if they didn't have such a rush to judgment in terms of Western medicine and how they need to do it, how they're taught to do it, if they would take the time to get that person's immune system where it needs to be, that is the key to any possible recovery from cancer. The immune system is everything to your body. If you don't have your immune system where it's supposed to be, you're susceptible to every little thing. And as you grow older, your immune system is very, very difficult to bring back after you reach a certain age.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point, because I was speaking with someone earlier on Facebook about this, and he's like, make sure and tell people that cancer is not a disease, it's a lack of nutrients. And that is so true. I mean, the body would never subject itself and go through the cancer if we were actually giving it everything that it needed to fight it. And what had happened, you know, in your case and in everyone else's case, is basically, you know, eating acidic diets and, you know, being poisoned just normally through the environment and just not having enough power in your cells, you know, to fight these things naturally. What was your acid levels when you found out you had cancer?
Oh, I was totally acidic. I was one of the guys that, instead of drinking water like I should have every day, I was a 2 to 3 Pepsi a day guy. And, you know, I just kept feeding my body sugar, sugar, sugar. And, you know, eventually in time, I'm going to catch up with you. And I just didn't drink enough water. And that was my biggest problem.
Right. And I'm sure you went out for fast food and ate whatever you want as well.
Well, absolutely. You know, I was a salesperson, and I ate on the run, and I never did take the time to eat the right foods. When I did go in, it was always something very quick, McDonald's or Burger King or something like that, where you just drive through and get it and on your way, because when you're out in the field as a salesperson, time is either your enemy or your best friend, one of the two. So you do the best you can. And unfortunately, you don't eat properly.
Right. Well, I've been in sales for many, many years in my life, too, so I understand that one. You know, it's kind of like if you spend too much time at lunch, you miss the next deal, you know?
Absolutely.
You could be out there, you know, eating, and your competitor, you know, the guy next to you decides to skip lunch and gets the big deal that day, so... There's a big rush always to eat really, really fast and really, really quick. And so, yeah, I've experienced that myself for sure. Well, you know, the sad part of it is once you have cancer, it is very difficult. It becomes like a lifelong battle, from my understanding. You're going to have to be rather disciplined, from what I understand, for the rest of your life, although it's supposedly, you know, you can start easing up, I guess, once the tumor's gone, right?
That's correct, right. In moderation, you can slowly go back of the things that you enjoyed eating. But you're right. Your life has changed 100% for the rest of your life. You don't want it to come back. In order to ensure that it doesn't, you just have to completely maintain your body level of health. And it's one of those things that you just absolutely have to set a course after that tumor is gone in order to make sure, ensure that it doesn't come back. And moderation, like my cancer coach said, once that tumor is gone and we know that it's gone, then a few of the things that I like so well can come back into play.
Right. Well, I know that your son, Christopher, had, you know, talked to you about health and nutrition over the years, but, you know, none of us really take all that serious because we don't really think about how our diet is really affecting our lives. But I have learned prior to you being diagnosed, like the previous year, I had learned all sorts of things about, you know, health and nutrition, eating organic and being poisoned with the fluoride in the water and everything else. And so it was kind of, you know, the way I see it, God set the whole thing up. He got me to a certain knowledge base. You happened to be going through Colorado at the time you were diagnosed. I happen to have been involved with We Are Change Colorado, who had given me some videos to give out, and I brought those with me. And I remember when you were diagnosed, I was like, okay, you know, you guys, you know, can do whatever you want to do, but I, in your shoes, would go the natural route. And here's a few movies, you know, I'd love you to watch. You know, it's up to you. Ultimately, this is your decision. And I was so happy and proud of you for making the choice to go natural. I remember that the doctors tried to scare you out of it. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. My oncologist, when we met with him the day after I was diagnosed, said that this was a very, very aggressive cancer and that I should have treatment immediately, which would have meant, this was on a Friday, and he says, we can start on a Monday morning. And boy, I tell you, we did a lot of brainstorming over the weekend, and with your help and with Chris's help. And Chris has been just a wonder to us because he was into this before before I got the cancer, into the health field. And I really firmly believe that with a little bit of extra knowledge, he could be a nutritionist. No question about it. He knows just that much about it. So with his knowledge and with your knowledge, we put it all together, and that's what made the decision for us. We all have cancer cells, and it takes certain things, certain instances that triggers it one way or another. And your health is about 90% of the deciding factor in that.
Right, right. Well, there's so many poisons that we're subjected to every day, poisons in our cleaning products. If you're a woman, cleaning houses a lot, or, you know, maybe women wearing makeup or antiperspirants, deodorants, you know, things are in our pillows and sheets and in the paint on the wall and in the furniture and in the food that we eat, the air that we're breathing, the water that we're drinking, certainly all the GMOs and everything that are out there. So we're all being poisoned. And even things like shampoo and conditioner and soap. And it's amazing when you start looking into it how many things that you think you're protected from and that they're safe, but they're really, really not. Well, all of these things add up to sickness and disease. And the body... God has made our body wondrous, and our bodies can heal from almost anything when given the proper, you know, ingredients, nutrition. And I kind of liken it to if you have an army, if you're a king and you have an army, and you're going to send them into battle, do you starve them first for, you know, years on end and treat them badly and poison them and then send them into battle? Or do you feed them well and take care of them and make sure they're well rested and do all these wonderful things for them so that when they go into battle, they're strong and able to win and conquer? And it's the same thing with our cells and our body. You know, if we're giving our cells and our body the proper nutrients, and I liken this back to God as well, because God creates, you know, fruits and vegetables and natural substances, and these are the things that are healing. These are things that, you know, vitamins try to reproduce by taking synthetic versions of a particular substance from a fruit or vegetable, but it's not the entirety of that substance. It doesn't have all the little, you know, nanoparticles and phytonutrients and wonderful little components that were created to work together to heal our bodies. So at this time and juncture, as much as we're being poisoned in our environment, we need proper nutrition and fruits and vegetables more than ever before. Isn't that the majority of your diet now?
Absolutely. It's kale and salads and soups and all natural things. Just interject one other thing here while I'm thinking about it.
Sure.
My cancer coach had stage 4 esophageal cancer 16 years ago. He went on this same regimen that he has me on, and he has been cancer-free for the last 14 years.
So can you describe the regimen, you know, details to people, just so they kind of, if they've got friends or family that are, you know, confronted with fighting cancer naturally, maybe give them kind of a head start on what they should be doing to change their diet and all that?
Yes. You know, having the help of a oncologist that will go along with what you're doing and a physician really is the key. I'm, like I said, I'm on this infusion 4 days a week now. It has absolutely done everything that he said going to do, and that's why that tumor is going down. But with the cancer in, like, stage 4, like he had esophageal, he not only had that, he had stage 2 lymph node cancer, and he beat both of them. Now, this man is only 99 pounds soaking wet. He was born with a hand and foot deformity, but he is the most outgoing person you will ever, ever meet. And I think that is a testimonial to his focus and his fortitude in planning a way to get rid of it and sticking to it all the way through until it was gone. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
I remember when you were in the hospital, I was talking to you about food choices, and I said, you know what, it's like the Bible talks about life and death is in the power of the tongue. You need to look at it as life and death is in every morsel that you eat right now. Like, everything that you drink and eat, you have to look at that as, this is going to kill me or this is going to make me live. And do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like my cancer coach had told me, he said, you know, you're going to know when you're eating the wrong things because it will come up in nasal passage and nose will start running. And then the bad things that you have eaten will come out through that nasal passage. It's amazing. And it did happen to me. I ate something I shouldn't have. And that night, my gosh, my nose was running off my face. And
really?
Yeah, it was really,
now, see,
really something.
That I never heard.
Yeah. And it did happen to me, and it, not only once, but it happened two or three other times, because sometimes, you know, you fall off the wagon a little bit, and you eat something in moderation that you think's not going to, you know, affect it one way or another. But believe me, it does. You need to stick with the program.
I think that's the biggest key. It's just the tenacity, you know, of getting in there and sticking with the program. And it's hard. I mean, it takes discipline. But, you know, what got you to having cancer in the first place was a lack of discipline. So the opposite is the healing for it, is finding a newfound discipline in that area. And what is it? I think it's like you can change any habit in your life within 30 days, I think it is. Isn't that right? Something like that. The neurons in your brain redevelop, you know, when you try something new, as long as you stick with it for, I believe it's 30 days, you can do anything new. So anyone can do it. It doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like something that anyone would want to do, but prevention is the key. I mean, once you have cancer, you're pretty much subjected to having to make radical changes in your diet. But if you are proactive and starting to eat, you know, mostly healthy and just making little changes, maybe stop microwaving, maybe drink a lot more water, maybe switch to all organics that you're eating and cooking, maybe cook more meals at home, that sort of thing. You do those things and you're going to give yourself an ounce of prevention, which is more effective than a pound of cure. Because when you are proactive at fighting this sort of thing, then it's not as hard to fight it. Once you have cancer, you have no choice. You have to fight it aggressively. It's kind of a life or death thing.
Yeah, there's no two ways about that. We buried my uncle last month. He had advanced stages of cancer and emphysema, and we just buried my aunt this last week. So, and she had advanced stages of cancer also. And for a while, we thought that the treatment was going to help her. She started eating and drinking like she. But unfortunately, she was 83 years old, and the cancer was just so far advanced that no amount of cure could help her at that point. Cancer is one of those things that you don't take lightly. You have to do one thing or another. You either beat it or you join it.
Well, for me personally, I personally would rather attempt the natural healing and die attempting it than go the standard way and poison myself. I mean, the quality of life of people who had, you know, the chemotherapy and radiation is just completely different. And, you know, the quality of life, like you said, she started getting better. You do enjoy a higher quality of life when you're eating correctly, just by the nature of the fact that you're eating correctly and your body is able to do things and function in a way that it's been desiring to do in a long time. So it just depends on what stage you're at, what type of cancer is, and how aggressive you are. I mean, I know a lot of these things can be done at home. A lot of, you know, Your therapy is just one of the many therapies that's out there. There's so many different cures to cancer. The Gerson therapy is amazing. You can actually juice fruits and vegetables and go that route. And that's been proven to be very, very effective. But, you know, the point is just getting out there and finding out what therapy works best for you. Start looking into the natural things. And at the very least, until you decide the exact course that you want to get on, at the very least, change your diet radically, you know, with lots of organic fruits and vegetables. The meat is bad because it actually creates an acidic environment in your body. Sugar is bad because it does the same thing. So you have to just cut out all those things that you were used to having, make those sacrifices, and, you know, and study and research until you find the best fit for yourself.
Absolutely.
I remember you were in the hospital, and I was like, they gave you Jell-O, and I was like, put that down.
Oh, and what about the potatoes?
Yeah. Didn't they microwave it?
I don't know, but they shouldn't have been serving me potatoes in the hospital because that's one of the worst things I could have had.
Yeah. And they microwave soup. And I was just like, really? I mean, I was so mad. I don't know if you remember this.
I was incensed.
Oh, yeah. I was furious. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
you've got a cancer patient here, and you're going to feed him microwave food? What are you doing?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go ballistic in there. you had me scared. I thought for sure you were going to go in there and punch somebody out. You were that mad.
I'm like, who's in charge of this? Who is making these decisions? Oh, my gosh. But then I had to calm myself down. I'm like, okay, a lot of them don't know. I mean, they're not taught, you know, in nutritionist school. They're not taught correctly. They're not taught that you don't, you know, feed microwave food to a cancer patient and you know, all the other things that we know.
Well, yeah, one thing I found out is that there are, you know, a lot of different types of cancer, and the treatment for each cancer is specific to that particular cancer. And we have found out that it, for the most part, the big three, the diet, the exercise, and sleep, that it transcends across many, many of the different forms of cancer that's out there today. If physicians today weren't completely locked into Western medicine, if they had some side vision where they could at least consider alternative care, I know it's not productive or, you know, make them any money, but it would be something that would certainly be a better cure than just the rush to judgment to cut it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there's no money to be made in an industry where pharmaceuticals rule and where cancer treatment is a huge moneymaker. What money can be made in telling someone, you know, eat healthy, eat organic fruits and vegetables? There's nothing. There's no profit from that. And so when there's no profit in that, it becomes something that they'd rather not share. And
yeah,
that's
absolutely
unfortunate because, you know, we as human beings, we have a duty to be good to one another and to try to save one another from things, from harm. And it's so evil and corrupt to me that a human being would ever be looked at as merely a prophet instead of a valuable person with family who cares and is concerned and doesn't want to see them suffer. I mean, it's just it's just really sad, you know, that it's gotten to that level in our society. You can't trust, you know, the normal standard doctor recommendations. You really, really have to look for yourself. Don't just believe just because they said something that that's the only option. Do your own research. Look deeper. Isn't that what you would tell people in your same situation?
I would. You know, the chemo is highly lucrative for the physicians today. And to veer off of that course, you know, affects their income. And there's not many of them that want to even consider alternative care. So, you know, if you can find a physician that is sympathetic to the alternative method and an oncologist, then you have found the key to getting rid of your cancer, no matter what it is.
So you actually found some really good, solid people who are, you know, professionally trained in those areas. So that helped you with your confidence level and in what they were doing. Although I know your cancer coach is not a doctor, right? He's just a person himself who went through something similar to you, correct?
Right. He like I said, had two different forms of cancer and did a lot of research on his own. And at this point in time in his life, he coaches, he has 8 people that he's coaching through different forms of cancer. And they come to him, much like the Gerson method, where you have to go in to the actual clinic and go through the whole Mrs. Gerson puts you through. He has a home big enough where he can house the people, and they come in from all over the United States to spend time there with him and go through this initial phase of their recovery. And he has about an 85% success ratio, which is
amazing. And I know Charlotte Gerson. It's spelled G-E-R-S-O-N. Charlotte Gerson has a similar success rate. It's somewhere in the high 80s or 90s. And again, there's no guarantee because we don't know how far progressive along the cancer is before it's actually been treated and looked at and everything else, but. You know, at least you have a quality of life too at the end, rather than suffering and being poisoned and going through all of your finances to try out treatments that, if you extrapolate with chemotherapy, all the people that die from chemotherapy, that's what they've done to adjust the figures is they say, well, they didn't die of cancer. So, they mess with the figures. Well, if you die from the chemotherapy, there's like a 2% success ratio of poisoning yourself like that. 2%. And here you get 80 and 90% success ratio with natural cures without being poisoned, without all the bad side effects. It just takes a little discipline. So... hey, we got a caller calling in from 702, so let's bring them on and see what they have to say. 702, you're on.
Hey, Lisa, it's Gary. How are you?
Oh, hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to tag off of what you were saying about the whole it's all about money thing. I remember when, first of all, I was pre-med for a few years after being a paramedic firefighter in Arizona, and I came out here to Las Vegas to go to UNLV. Anyway, long story short, I had a regular doctor, and I had a hand injury, and I literally had blood running down my arm, and he was right around the corner from my house, so I went around the corner to get stitches, basically, and the secretary looked me up in the computer, and he says, I'm sorry, your insurance expired, I can't do anything for you, and you need to go somewhere else, and like to the emergency room, and it made me sick to my stomach that It used to be about people, about helping people. Doctors took an oath to help people, but now it's become a money thing. The whole cancer situation, I mean, you're right. You know, preventative medicine is where it's at. I was involved with Equinox and Herbs, and I'm involved with Sunrider, and also what you said about God made plants and vegetables and herbs for healing, if you read that in Genesis. But you're right. A lot of people are going down to places like Mexico and China, and they're actually curing cancer. One of the things that cures cancer that I found through personal experience, both in the natural and also in ministry, was the fact that when people eat seeds, there's grape seed extract, and grape seeds have amazing cancer preventative properties to it. Mm-hmm. Also, my pastor, he does dark field blood microscopy, where he actually has you look at your blood under a microscope, live blood. I mean, just as it's taken. Problem is with a lot of these blood tests and things, the blood's already dead, so you can't see how the white blood cells are reacting to the things in your body. You can't see the distortion of your red blood cells happening live. It's pretty amazing when you're looking at your own blood on a screen. So there are things that we can do, and then he treats people with natural herbs and goes the natural direction. So I just want to tag off what you said. That's kind of one of the reasons I got out of medicine, and I hate to say this. I know there's attorneys on Freedomizer, but the lawyers have a lot to do with it. But not only them, the people that want to sue everybody for everything. And just one more example in what's happened in this country is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but OBGYN has the most expensive insurance. Some of them $200,000-$400,000 a year just for insurance. And the reason is that if an OBGYN delivers a child and that child develops any kind of disease up to the age of 16, the parents can go back and sue the doctor that delivered that child. I mean, that is just stupid. And so, doctors are not only to blame, but it's the way the lawyers in this country are, the attorneys, but it's people. They're just selfish. And so I just wanted to tag off of what you said. That was one of the reasons why I said, you know what, it's not even about people anymore. And that's why I went from wanting to be a cardiologist to now doing it through the Lord, and I'm still a cardiologist, but I'm a heart doctor for Jesus.
Aww. I like that. Well, good for you for taking the higher road and making decisions, based on integrity rather than based on greed.
Yeah, never make a decision based solely on money. That's what I learned when I went to college. You just don't make a decision based on money. Because you know what? The same pastor who does the blood microscopy, I mean, he believes in the natural and the supernatural. It's both, you know. It's not just one or the other. It's one. You can't be on one ditch or the other ditch. It's got to be down the middle of the road. That's the hardest thing that people have to do, is stay in the middle of the road. It's the hardest thing for people to do. They go from one extreme to the other. But anyway, you know, he does the whole blood microscopy thing, and he's real practical. And I think we need to be practical, you know. But you can't, like I said this before to you, Lisa, you can't fix stupid. You just can't.
Right. Right. It's true. It's true. Well, you know, it took a lot of bravery for my uncle Lanny to choose this path. I mean, it's not the path that is widely traveled, and it's not the path that is supported by mainstream doctors. And so it's scary, and they will try to scare you. They will literally be like, you're going to die, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do this.
It's fear.
You're
going to
die.
It's the devil. They're being used as the devil to put fear in people. And I just want to give one more example, if I may. I'm going to get back to work here. But another example I had is the guy that started Equinox. I'm not going to say his name. But the reason why he got into the herbal company and then made MLM was – he was very, very ill. He was dying. I mean, his body was just shut down from breathing all the toxins in the air and the food and everything we talk about on Freedomizer Radio. And his body shut down. So he went to Mexico, and he went through detox, and they fed him. All he did was eat bowls and bowls and bowls and bowls of Chinese herbs for like 3-4 months. And he came out completely cured, completely healed. No cancer in his body. He felt like he felt better he ever did in his life. And he says, the rest of the world needs to know this. Well, what happened to him, though, is his heart was right in starting this herbal company. He set it up as an MLM, which I know there's some out there that are great. But the point is, he got back to just being about money that he wound up being sued. It was a pyramid. It was just a mess. But we need to go back to doing things right, because this is what I was going to say before I got distracted. My pastor said this: you can always make money. Making money is easy. It's people say it's tough in the economy, but if you really want to make money, if there's something you really want to do, if you have to go out there and dig ditches, wash cars, work at McDonald's, flip burgers, whatever, you can always make money. But the one thing that you can never do is make more time. And so you never make a decision on money. You make a decision on time. And that kind of goes along with preventing. If you want to spend the time and going to doctors and taking tests and taking the pills, and it's going to cost you time and money. But if you just invest a little bit of time, because preparation time is never lost time, a little bit of preparation time in slowing down, eating the right foods, you wind up eating less foods because they're nutrient-packed, and then God will help you even in the financial area of your life, because you won't be spending time running to the doctors, running to getting treated, and he'll redeem your time. Look at that, the clock went off.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Confirmation.
Gary's got his own show every morning. What time is your show?
It's 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard.
Okay, so 9 to 10 Pacific Standard, that's 10 to 11 Mountain, 11 to 12 Central, 12 to 1 Eastern, every morning. Isn't that Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday is called The Truth, and I start the broadcast day here on Freedom Miser Radio.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, stop by and listen to Gary's show during the week. It's first show of the morning.
Live show. Okay, I'm going to get back to Rick. You can mute me out, and I'm going to keep listening to you guys as I finish my work here at the house.
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Lisa.
Well, that was nice. What do you think, Uncle Annie?
Yeah, he's very knowledgeable. Like, he has it all together. He hit the nail right on the head. Stupid is stupid, you know. You can't change stupid, but you can change people's lifestyle and time. His emphasis was on time, and God will give you plenty of time if you do the right thing.
Yeah, it's a neat way of looking at it, for sure.
Yep.
I think that we should be more, you know, thoughtful about those sort of things. But yeah, the standard cancer therapies are a drag on your time, your resources, and everything else. And really, it's all fear-based. I don't know if you've ever really stood back and looked at it. I'm sure you have, but, you know, the entire industry is based on fear. Oh, you have cancer. You know, you've got to get this kind of treatment. It's got to be done, or you're going to die. You know, and
yes,
it's really not true.
Nope, not at all.
No, it's. I know for you, you've gone in and you know, obviously you've made some major changes in your life, some drastic changes in your life. But has it been a scary experience for you? I mean, outside the initial decision?
You know, for me, it was a no-brainer, because when you sort out all the facts and you see what has transpired with patients of similar illness, you make a decision based on facts, not on your gut or your heart or anything like that. You see that the attrition rate from the cancer patients that have had the full treatment versus the rate of recovery from people who have gone the natural route, it's a no-brainer. You absolutely know what your decision is going to be. And everybody is different, and their cancer treatment is different, each one. And I know for me, there are certain things I can't have. Anything that has sugar, sugar feeds my cancer all the time. I cannot have any, maybe 2 grams of sugar in something that I might be eating. But then we have something we take from Dr. Young, it's called Four Salts. And if anything that I have that's sugar-based, I just take a couple of flavors, and it counteracts the sugar.
Now, Dr. Young, I'm glad you brought that up. Dr. Young is actually one of the people that you've kind of followed on this, and he actually has online books and those sort of things that people can pick up, correct?
Yeah, Dr. Young is about 50% of my treatment in terms of what I'm taking. All my supplements and that type of thing come from Dr. Young. And, there's varying degrees of salt in the different things that he produces out there at his farm. He has people also that come in from all over the nation, and they spend 2-3 weeks there. But unfortunately, it's for a chosen few because it's very expensive to do. So, you spend $15,000 in a week to go through the regimen. It gets very expensive after 2-3 weeks.
Right. Which is, but like any of these other natural therapies, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go spend time at somebody's house or whatever. You don't have to. It's just kind of if you have the resources available to you, it might make it easier on you because you could, be there hands-on, learn, firsthand exactly what you're doing. It maybe takes a little bit of the fear out of the situation. But it's not by any means mandatory for getting healing.
No. In my particular case, I had my lymph node was at 2.6, and that was the last test that I just went through. I did a CAT scan, and it came out 2.6, which was about 0.02. more than what it was the last test. So we checked back, and I had been having lymph node treatment from my cancer coach wife, who is a cancer coach, and she does a lot of the hands-on treatment. And I had gotten the lymph nodes down to 0, but now it went back to 2. So we're a little concerned, and I'm going back in for more treatment to reverse that. But, your lymph nodes is that's one of the true things that you want to make sure that you you can find. That lymph node gets out of hand, it's super difficult to get it back in rain.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. I wonder what happened there. Interesting.
Well, I think what happened is that I had not stopped the treatment, but certainly curtailed to because it is very expensive to do. But again, it might have been reflected in my diet. I can't say for sure that's what it was. It could be a myriad of things, but I think in my case it was the diet.
Okay, so you did make some adjustments in your diet to where it might. Okay, well, that's at least good to know, that there were some things that you could attribute to that. How long has it been since your diagnosis?
Okay, let's see. I was diagnosed initially on September 11th of 2011. So almost 2 years, and it was stage 2 esophageal cancer. Now, that's when I had the port implanted in my chest because they thought I was going to go right directly in and have chemo that next Monday. So it was kind of a rush there, too. They did the implant. Well, thank the Lord that they did that because I've been able to do my infusions through the port. They access it. A nurse comes in the morning, accesses it, and then my wife, Karen, she takes the needle out at night and excuse me, not the needle. The needle stays in, but she caps it off, and she puts it again the next day. I've been doing my infusions at night, so it leaves my daytime open to do some of the things I want to do. 4 to 6 hours a day is a lot, but if you're doing it at night, it's a lot easier. But with my infusion that I'm doing, we add the sodium bicarbonate. Now we've increased it an extra bottle. We do 5 bottles of the sodium bicarbonate in the actual bottle of saline. So I get the full dose of the sodium bicarbonate, which in turn goes in to crush the tumor.
Okay. So, well, that's good. That's good. It's been working for you, and you've had 2 solid years of a happy existence, right? I mean, you've been able to go out and do things and, you know, spend time with your family and act relatively normal with the exception of, you know, being very careful with your diet. Hasn't your quality of life been fairly high?
Yes, it really has. I have no complaints about my quality of life. I've been able to continue on. I can't do all the things that I used to do with my weight. I find myself a little bit on the weak side sometimes in the morning. But I have my good days and I have my bad days. But I'll tell you one thing, I have a lot more good days than I do bad.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, basically this is my uncle, Uncle Lanny from California, who happened to be visiting Colorado a couple years back, September 11th, and got diagnosed while in Colorado of having stage 2 esophageal cancer.
Yes, I did get distracted in my own rhetoric here in terms of the port. I was trying to get to the importance of the port. Had I not had the port put into it's in your chest, I would have had to have had a PICC line, which means that I would have every day in that 2 years, I would have had to have had an injection in my veins on my arm, and it turned into a pincushion. So that port was crucial to my eventual recovery.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand needles, so I would much rather have a port.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well,
yeah.
We thank the Lord that that was a happenstance at the time that, just after I was diagnosed, and that particular aspect of it has worked out amazingly well.
That is so wonderful. The good Lord actually did a lot of things in this. I mean, the fact that you were diagnosed in Colorado and I was there, and the fact that I'd been studying for several years, for a year prior about natural cures and had the videotapes. And, there's this seems to me like a series of favorable events, for you, where all the people were lined up and everything else. So I guess it was in God has it in the cards for you to be around. So
yeah, God works in mysterious no question about
that. Yeah, yeah.
You kind of got a taste of my diet when you were out here, was it the last year sometime, for your get-together here. But you kind of know exactly what I do on a daily basis. It's 3 times a day, and it's supplements and powder and sprays, and you know, it's a regular regimen that I have put into my brain that that's what I do each and every day, and I have to stay up.
Yeah, I mean, there's right. It's not like if there's a choice in the matter. You do what you have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You do what you have to do to survive.
The body can achieve what the mind can conceive. And
yes,
in this particular sense, with proper focus, sticking to it. I mean, that's the whole thing. So many times I want to have a cheeseburger or a pizza or something like that when everybody else is having one. It doesn't work that way.
Oh, boy. I'll bet that cheeseburger will taste really good.
That's my focus. At the end of my tunnel, it's not a train, it's a pizza.
I can totally relate, actually. I don't know if you remember, but when I was younger, my folks called me Lisa Pizza because all I ever wanted to eat was pizza. That's it. They'd be like, what do you want for dinner? Pizza. Like, we just had that last night, but you asked what I wanted.
Yeah, I hear you. I was a pepperoni pizza guy, and unfortunately, the pepperonis is as far as anything that I could have today than, you know, the end of the...
Are you there? Oh,
I'm
okay.
Here.
You cut out. Okay.
Sorry.
You cut out. That's okay. You cut out for a second. Yeah, so I don't like pepperoni. It's like greasy and you know what? I saw an article recently and said that processed meat is not fit for human consumption.
Well, you just look at it this way, that you eat a steak and your body takes anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks just to digest that meat. Now, processing it through the system takes longer. But just to digest it, it takes 6 to 8 weeks on raw meat.
Wow.
I don't want to discourage anybody from eating raw meat, but, you know, it's like anything else, moderation. Don't do anything in excess because that's what comes back to haunt you.
Well, I actually eat steak, but I only eat grass-fed, organic, you know, free-range steak. And it's more expensive, and it tastes better. It's actually better for you. But I only do it like once a month. And I do that because I actually get a little anemic during my cycle, you know.
Right.
So it's actually helpful to me because I do get kind of anemic from that.
Right.
So,
it's just like a doctor. You know, you have to listen to your doctor for most illnesses. That's what they're there for. And you know, you treat the ailment with the proper solution, and it you know, you get rid of it quicker. Doctors are there for a reason. I wouldn't know what to do without my physician. He's just been absolutely great to me. You know,
well, that's good to hear
because
my feeling about doctors is not a positive one for the most part. So I'm glad that you have had good experiences.
Well, with my doctor, when I go in, I don't get just, hello, how are you? I get a big hug, you know? It's a personal thing. And starting with the staff, which I found out, both my wife and I, Karen and I, found out that he has trained his staff to be as caring and loving as what he is, which is fantastic.
Aww.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's the way it should be.
Well, Lisa, that's the way it was before I ever got my cancer. It's just the way he was from day one. That's why he is our physician. I mean, he's gone through a lot with us. When Karen ruptured her esophagus on New Year's Eve, he was the first one there at the hospital.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a caring physician.
Well, you know, and that's what our duty is to man and to each other is to care and you know, pay attention and be concerned, and you know, money should never be the issue. Should never be the main issue. And I know there's some reality that goes along with paying the bills and everything, but it's out of control. It's out of control right now. So, well, praise God. I'm really glad that you have some good doctors surrounding that you trust. I guess that would probably help with overall how you feel as far as fear level and everything. There's people around who are experts and know what's going on. So, I suppose that's very helpful in that area for people who are afraid.
Yeah, no question about that. With any type of cancer, mental health is a real priority, making sure that, you're not stressing every single day, just thinking about your illness. Stress is one of the biggest killers of mankind there is. And you eliminate that from the equation when you're going on your day-to-day through life. You absolutely surround yourself with positive people, and you think positively, and don't ever let your thoughts get into that negative state, because that's what does you in.
I agree. There's so much. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, I just think there's so much to that. And there's so many stories in life and the Bible that just show that over and over and over again, that positive brings positive and negative brings negative. And you have to surround yourself with positive people. And I think that's a part of healing as well.
That's for sure. You know, if you read the Bible is about 80% positive, very few negative things in the Bible. That's why people read the Bible so much, is because it's comforting to them.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on from 480. 480, you're on.
Hi, Lisa. It's Julie.
Oh, hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi. Good, fine. How are you?
Good. It's my Uncle Lanny is on the line.
Hi, Uncle Lanny.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, this is a good topic. I love it. It's good to hear this, you know, because I feel the same way.
Do you know of anybody who has cancer? Or?
I know of that. Not off the top of my head, anyone I know specifically, but I just don't believe in the chemotherapy and all that, you know. I believe that you heal this stuff with your immune system. And I know the chemotherapy weakens your immune system.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I just take a lot of immune boosters and, you know, I'm hoping for the best, that's all. You know.
But you don't have any health problems right now?
No. And here's the thing with me, because I'm going to be 58. So at this point, I just keep going. And I think that helps you mentally anyway. You're just busy. And then, you know, when it's my time's up, I'm just going to drop and that'll be it. And I'm good with that. Yeah. So it's good. It's all good. I don't, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. I don't like, I don't even believe in the doctor thing too much, you know. So I've stopped going.
Yeah.
You know.
I've never had a mammogram.
I have. I used to get them when I was younger, like 25 years ago. And I just thought, you know, this is an X-ray, and X-rays cause cancer.
Uh-huh.
So
a lot of people overlook that fact. It's like you're getting a mammogram, which causes cancer, to see if you have cancer. And then they want you to get one every year. What?
I know. So meanwhile, that's how they make their money.
Some people actually believe that there is a conspiracy of the mammograms actually causing cancer. And they don't want you to get the cancer too young in life because you're still a good little taxpayer. You know, but there's a certain point when it's good for them to have you go on and get sick.
Yeah, so,
I
know.
That theory.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's
I feel really good. I take a lot of emergency and then that kind of stuff and. What else? There's some other thing that I take. It makes me feel like I'm 20 years younger. Let me tell you what it is. And it's cheap. It's Essence C. I get it at Kroger. Let's see. Yeah, it's by Kroger.
Oh.
My husband can't even believe it. He goes, you know, because I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and he can't believe how much energy I have. He doesn't have the energy I have. And I got to tell you, it's working really good. Today I was fighting with a whole bunch of realtors. He goes, I just can't believe you. it's working. Yeah, it works. It does. It helps a lot. And that's fine, you know.
Are you eating lots of fruits? I'm sorry, Lanny. Go ahead, Uncle Lanny.
No, is it Julie? Is that what the name is?
Julie.
Julie, with your analysis of chemo causing cancer, there's no question about that because it's a high level of radiation.
Yes.
And in my CAT scan that I just had this last week, that was the least amount of radiation of the tests that I could have at the time. However, it didn't do the kind of results that we were looking for in terms of the size of the tumor. So now I have to go back in and do an endoscopy in late July.
Oh God!
But your analysis of chemo causing cancer, it's right on. It's a high level of radiation, and it's killing the good blood cells along with the bad. Unfortunately, as we age, your chances get slimmer and slimmer.
I know. Oh, yeah. I know it. So, you just kind of, you know, there's really, I don't know if they could do a whole lot with really super elderly people, but, you know, but just to keep them comfortable. But I don't know. You know what I think, too? Everything is mental. I mean, I just think if you just stop working and stop doing everything and sit around the house and do nothing, you're going to get sick more. You know, I just like keeping really busy, and I'm so busy, I just, you know, we can't get a break, you know, but I guess that keeps us going, you know.
Well, Julie, you're so busy, you don't have time to think about getting sick.
Yeah, I don't. If I get a little pain here or there or whatever, it just goes away. It goes away. I wait a little bit. People I know, they run to the emergency for every little thing. And, of course, they get it paid for by the state, so they're going to run in there. But I never go, and everything goes away. Just give it a little bit of time. I feel that. I mean, you know, if you have a big lump hanging off your side or something, you know something's wrong, then that's one thing. Or if you break something, you've got to have it fixed. Yeah. But I don't know. I think people make too much of this doctor stuff. And you know what? I don't like all these drug commercials. So
Yeah, my uncle had a good saying, Julie. mm-hmm. he said, I will never get it fixed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. We got cut off.
He said, I will never take a working watch in to get it fixed.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, he was so right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people give up and just die, you know, when they become inactive. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they're active, their mind is active, and they have a reason to live, and it gives you purpose. You know, a lot of it
yeah.
is mental, for sure. A lot of it
yeah.
is mental.
It is.
And I'm sure that's why, you know, a large portion of the natural healings work, too, is because you're not poisoning your system to the point where you can't do anything. I mean, these
right,
people
and
on chemotherapy, they're immobilized.
Oh, my God. Do you see what they look like? They're so skinny, and they're pale, and they lose their – it's terrible. You know, it's not the right way to do it. And when my son was married, I mean, he was married and they got a divorce, but her sister had breast cancer and she died. And I really feel she could have done something to save herself. But she went and believed all the doctors and they put her on hospice. At some point, you know, they said she couldn't do anything anymore. So,
well, I wanted
know.
To share. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to share. I know of my ex roommate Stacy. She used to live here. She
mm-hmm.
actually moved back to North Carolina, and
mm-hmm.
she, knowing what she knows about, you know, my uncle Lanny and other natural healings, she's had natural healings in her life just from juicing and eating, you know, well. She tried to talk a girlfriend of hers who's my age in her early 40s into going the natural route instead of taking the chemo. And the girlfriend, you know, went along with it and said, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll just go the natural route. And her family freaked out on her. And her family started crying. And her family's like, please, please, please go chemotherapy. Please, just
oh,
for us.
No.
Give her to die. Yes. So Stacy had convinced her to do that, but her family begged her to go the conventional route. And every time she went under her treatment, she got 10 times sicker. It spread throughout her body, like literally every time that they did the chemo, it was like a booster shot to spreading it. It just went everywhere, and then the doctor kept on saying, "Well, maybe it's this," and so they, you know, do another round, and
mm-hmm.
there they are, trusting these doctors who don't know diddly
mm-hmm.
for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and telling them. You know, to take this poison, which has a 2% effectiveness rate, and wipes
right.
you out financially.
Oh yeah, it's all a money pit deal for the doctors.
Well,
and the insurance
the worst part of it is, I think she's 42 or 43 years old. She's now dead.
Oh no!
And this just happened, you guys. She was
no.
dead. Yep. She was dead within, I don't know, 3 months of her first treatment.
Yeah,
it wasn't even,
they say
that
sixth
yeah, it wasn't
treatment,
that
I think
long.
The sixth treatment is the deadly one.
Well, rest your soul.
People, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine the guilt of her family now knowing that they tried to push her into this
mm.
and wondering, did we do the right thing? Can you imagine the mental harm that went along with that?
Terrible. What stage was it, did they say?
It was an early stage when she started. And
oh, there's
spread,
no way.
Like,
she should have been saved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, no, she got that. She did not respond well to it. She died very quickly.
Okay, she died from the chemotherapy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Unbelievable.
Yes. And that was from her family, you know, begging her to do that. And she did what they asked. And then she, when it was too late and it already spread throughout her body, she went back to my friend Stacy and said, okay, I made the wrong decision. I'm ready to try this route now. And it was too late. I mean, at that point, it was so far gone, there was nothing they could do.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, with the way that people think today, we are brainwashed with Western medicine. Doctors are all taught a certain way, and that's the chemo and radiation way. And, you know, for a layperson who is confronted with this type of a disease, they're counting on someone who has, you know, the knowledge to save their lives. But unfortunately, with chemo, it just is not the way to go.
I agree.
Yeah,
and, you know, you can't tell people. I'm going to tell you something. I have friends that totally believe in this, and I have a friend that her son had cancer, a colon cancer, and he went through chemotherapy, and he was sick as a dog. But he pulled through. I don't even know if he really had it. I don't really believe he did, but, you know, whatever. But he pulled through. But, boy, he was real bad. He was very sick. I just have a bad feeling about it. So, I don't know. Scary
stuff.
Well,
you know, it's a blessing, Uncle Lanny, that people in your life, you know, surrounded you, that had the faith to go this route and encouraged you to go that route. Because imagine if that weren't true. Imagine if you were surrounded by people who didn't know and pushed you in the other direction. Your life would be totally different right now.
Yeah.
No question about that. I was blessed to have the proper people at the right time be in my life to help me make that decision, because you know, you're completely dismayed with the diagnosis. You think your life is over. That's the first thing that passes through your mind. But when you get a lot of positive people around you with positive thoughts and get you in the right direction, you know, that's the life changer right there. No question.
Yeah. How long have you been cancer free, Lenny?
I'm not cancer-free yet.
Okay.
I have another test to go through. It's an endoscopy test in late July to know what the size of the tumor is and if there's anything left at all. And we're hoping and praying that it's completely gone.
Yeah.
My problem right now is my lymph nodes. I'm working on that to get them back in shape. So
yeah,
it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and may I ask, how old are you?
I'm 76.
76? You sound like you're 40.
Thank you. There you go, another positive person in my life.
That's great. Well, good. Yeah. Well, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
he's a trooper.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, you're ready to go party.
Yeah. When you say to yourself, you know, your life is not really over, you make yourself believe that the things that are going to happen to you are good things.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, there is a fight along the way with everything, but, you know, it all comes out good in the end, you know?
I always think good thoughts. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's
very
good.
Very much so. Well, we've got another caller from area code 646. 646, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling from New York, and it's a really interesting discussion because I have some health issues. And I was wondering, you know, the story about your friend who died, you know, within 3 months after the allopathic treatment, and how unsupportive her family was, people found her. And, you know, I'm wondering have you guys read or remember, there was somebody, the first person that I remember writing a book about this was, her name was Louise Hay. And she had this book where she associated certain diseases with certain psychological states or conditions, you know, that cancer, you know, meant that you tended to hold, you know, anger in, and heart disease had to do with grief. Like, are any of you familiar with that? Because it seems to me that taking charge, you know, taking responsibility for my own health, my own recovery, that those things enter into my mind, that maybe some of those need to be addressed, that those are helpful to be addressed as one changes their style of life, you know, in addition to the diet. And what are your thoughts on that? Or do you think it's just plain old positive thinking and cut through it all and cut to the chase?
Uncle Lenny, yes. Go ahead and answer that.
Okay, I'll do the best I can. There's no question that the psychological aspect of it comes into play quite prominently early on in your... Once you've been diagnosed with it, all the negative thoughts come into your mind. And at one point in time, I thought for sure I was going to need a psychiatrist because, all I was dying. And once I got my mindset changed to positive thinking and got the rest of my life in the right direction, it made all the difference in the world. But from a psychiatric point of view, you definitely have a point. Your health can change overnight just by your thoughts. If you think you're going to die, you're going to die.
So your
coach is more.
I agree.
So it would be more because you think particular diseases are connected to particular or specific psychic states that we're in. Have you ever read Louise Hay? Are you familiar, any of you, with her work?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that book, but I think there's, you know, some certain things that are universal. I don't know if you could really break it down and analyze and say, oh, well, if you have this sickness, then this is your problem, and if you have this sickness, then this is your problem. I don't know if that's possible or not. Maybe it is. I've never heard of it. But I will say, you know, that there are certain things that are very unhealthy to us, like holding unforgiveness towards somebody, you know. When you harbor resentment, when you harbor unforgiveness towards someone, it eats away at you like a cancer too. And, you know, who knows, it could trigger cancer. There's been, you know, a lot of studies on you know, positivity and negativity and how they affect sickness and disease. So we haven't even really begun to understand and research all of that.
Yeah,
it's almost, as I think about it while I listen to you talking, it's almost like if you enter into the realm of, okay, this, what I have is related to this negative event in my life, you're merely perpetuating that negativity. That's what I thought of while you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you focus too much on one event or whatever, oh, this is what did it, I can't change this event, it already happened. And, yeah, you're perpetuating, like he said, he was in his head so much he felt like he wanted a psychologist. Well, you can't do that to yourself. You can't stay in perpetual negativity. So the answer, I think, for anyone in a generic sense would be walking in love, forgiving people who've hurt you, not allowing things to worry you, not allowing things to stress you anymore, praying more, spending more time with your family, you know, eating quality food, taking proactive steps to exercise, get out, get some sun, doing these things that are healthy. Oh, pets are extremely healthy for you. They've been proven. Yeah. They've been proven to lower your blood pressure. So do what you can do and don't worry about what you're not doing.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that's a good solution.
There you go.
Yeah.
How are you doing, regular girl?
I'm
in the hospital.
Oh, no. What's going on?
Well, it's heart disease. And actually, they've told me that there are the three major arteries are blocked or occluded, is the word they used, 100%. So, however, I'm about to leave the hospital.
Yay.
tomorrow. And, you know, they got really angry, some of them. Really angry.
Oh, because you're leaving?
Well, yeah, and you know, this story goes back because I've had, I had a stent put in 1996. I've learned since I've been here that to have one last 17 years is actually quite an unusual thing. Most people are coming back after, you know, between 5 and 6 and 7. And what I had done at that time was I had walked away from allopathic medicine and done all the things that you're talking about and then fell backwards into my wayward ways along the way. And this time, you know, it's been quite an experience because, you know, I've been right here in the middle of the enemy camp, so to speak, with them coming at one point. You know, there's this one story where the first time they were going to give me, after the catheterization, the follow-up with one of those sonograms, but they were going to inject a dye, and they hadn't told me that they were going to inject a dye into me. So they're standing by my bedside, and I'm like, wait a minute. What is it? You know, and the tech said it's a dye, and I said, yeah, I get that, but like, what is it? And she repeats that the answer three times, and I had to really say I want to know what it is. Well, the next thing she said I don't know. You don't know for real? Next answer was it was a protein. Long story short, she was willing at some point to go get the insert that came from the product that they were going to inject into my veins, right? And it turned out to be this interesting conversation between the two techs and I that really sort of was good and really positive for me as I was laying there because I felt like they became more aware, you know, of things like fluoride. And the other tech, at some point, that's when I knew it was time to talk about the fluoride in the toothpaste and in the water, mentioned, like, she goes, yeah, you know what, I just read something about, you know those triangles on the bottom of the water bottles that we have? She said, you know, I just read that, like, it's actually poison. So I said, yeah, like, I know. We can kind of wonder. Like, I said, when I heard that, I was kind of going, like, what's up with that, you know? Why would somebody do that? And then I told them about the fluoride, and at that point, that's when I could, and I'll go get the insert, you know? And then she brought it to me, and it turns out that this stuff that they were going to be injecting into my veins is called, here's the number one warning and precaution. You gotta hear this, except the name of it, of course, is Definity. But that was called Definity. But here's what it does. Serious cardiopulmonary reactions, including fatalities, have occurred during the administration. So basically what this stuff is it's called, what's this name of it? It's like oxyfluoropropane is what they're injecting into the vein. And the reason they're doing it is to irritate the left ventricle. Get this. So this to irritate it to the degree so that it reacts and swells up so that they can get a better picture. And it was at this point that I began to realize that the other people in the room, in the bed, were really just like you could, they could have come in there and said, I'm going to inject this into the top of your head. I'm going to use it at the top of your head because normally they don't do that. And most of the people here would have said, okay, especially if the people just said, because your doctor ordered it. And so it's been a real unbelievable experience with my, you know, really shaking things up here and trying not to be well, actually they start to call me crazy. They want to call me crazy for that. That's what's going on here. And that's what happened several years ago when I first realized that there was something going on with my physical heart again. And I said, no, I don't feel right about the open heart. At that time, I didn't feel right about the catheterization. Now they're wanting to do open heart surgery. And there's something in me that feels like I'm more afraid of the open heart surgery than I am of walking out of here with very few resources. And then there's this doctor who actually, as you were talking about the doctor, it seems like actually he may be one of the doctors, maybe a good guy, you know, but everybody else is angry. Most of the people are angry and trying to call me crazy. However, I do have something of such legal import going on that I'm taking care to document that the reason why I'm leaving is that I need to take care of this legal matter immediately, you know, before considering. But they were just, everyone's being perplexed that I would
regular girl?
Yeah.
Let me just actually interrupt you. I'm going to have to take us to a commercial break right now. And then when we get back, we're going to talk again to Uncle Lanny about, you know, his situation and everything and stay on track. So cool. Give me about 5 minutes, guys. We're going to pay the sponsors, okay? Well, that's what I said, but here it is. I'm sorry. Wait a second here. I tried to pull up the ads, and here we go. All right. Thanks.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life, give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Get ready for the epic movie documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state. But instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/Freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/Freedomizer.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
All right, so we're back. This is the Truth Train with Liberty Lisa, and my Uncle Lanny is on the line. So how are you doing, Uncle Lanny? Are you hanging in there?
I am still here. You can't get rid of me that quick.
Well, you do sound really great, and I'm so pleased to hear that the tumor is more than halfway gone last time you had it checked, and you're still feeling good and everything else. I mean, it sounds like everything except for the lymph nodes going back up slightly has been really good reports, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And the feeling is mutual. I'm not only proud of you, but I'm so grateful that you headed me in the right direction, and I have a loving family to continue the work. So kudos to you. Thank you.
Well, you know, kudos to God, because he kind of orchestrated this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Without God, I don't think I would be here right now. I have a conversation with him every night. So, yeah, I'm well aware that my fate was in his hands.
I know we got a little bit off track, you know, with the last caller a little bit, Regular Girl. She's a great lady, and I definitely want to answer some of those questions for her. Just so you know, I wouldn't want to give you advice, you know, over the radio show that would be in any way detrimental to you. If you've got 100% blockages, it's a pretty severe situation. I know you can reverse even heart blockages with a natural diet, but you'd have to be so aggressive with it and so careful with it. So you definitely, I would recommend getting a natural coach or someone by your side to work with you on those sort of things. If you're that much blocked, you really, really need to take that up very seriously. So I just want to put that out there real quick. But I'm very, very proud of you, Uncle Lenny, for being so disciplined and taking it so seriously and being a leader and getting out there and getting your healing. I mean, you went after it and you got it. And that's a testimony to other people that they can do it as well. What would you say to people out there who are considering regular chemotherapy and surgery and what, you know, what the doctor's standard operating procedures are?
Well, to be honest, there are so many different types of cancer out there. You can't really put a fix on any independent one. You have to take each case on its own merit. You'll have to do some homework and check to see who might have had the same ailment that you do, and see where they are in life, or if you've found a book that will help you with your particular ailment, then that can be helpful too. But because there are so many different strains of cancer, there's just not one fix for across the board. It has to be handled independently, and to find the right person,
you would recommend investigation.
Absolutely right. Check into what type of cancer that you're confronted with, and through friends and family and through the media and especially books. There are a lot of books that I have read now on my particular type of cancer, and it's very rewarding to read through a book where the person had the same ailment as what you did, and they beat it naturally. I mean, it's such an uplifting feeling that you just can't imagine.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but you're coming from a position, too, of being out of the danger zone, so you have more time to read books and relax on that. I mean, people, when they're given these, hey, you've got cancer, you know, the doctors do what they did to you, and they put pressure. Not everyone's going to have family and everyone surround them and encourage them and make them feel good. Is there, what would you say to someone who feels like they're being pressured or rushed into a decision?
Well, it makes it very difficult if you don't have that support system around you. I don't know what I could say other than when that lady called in that had the heart problem, my phone died on me, so I didn't hear any of that conversation until I called back in. So
okay.
I didn't die. I didn't die. It was my phone. So anyway. I didn't get in on that part of the conversation. So I don't know, what happened during that time. But with any kind of a heart condition, I have no knowledge of alternative methods of healing a heart condition. So it's an individualized thing that she's just going to have to do some research on and soul searching.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as cancer is concerned, not as far as the heart, but as far as cancer is concerned, would you say pretty much blanket across the board, don't be rushing into any decision. Make sure you take time and pray and think about it and study your options first.
Absolutely. You know, you need to be informed. And the only way you get informed is to do your due diligence, do your homework, and find alternative methods, no matter what your ailment is. Because, you know, it goes back to nature again. The people in the East Indies, I mean, they're very primitive by nature, but they don't have illnesses like we do here in the Western United States, because they are using all natural type of remedies and foods, and they're not putting the kinds of things in their bodies that we're putting in ours here on a daily basis. So just do your homework. And make sure that the decision you make is a decision that is informative, and don't let your emotions get in the way. You have to make that decision based on fact. That's the biggest thing. Find something that has gone on before you that has proven to be successful. And I know they're out there. There's no question about it. I found them.
Yeah. Well, you know, my personal take on it, I'll just say and give my opinion out there. My personal take on it is I don't care how dire the situation is. I don't care what the doctors say. There's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to poison myself to try to seek healing that way. It doesn't make sense. And I refuse to subject myself and my family to some horrific procedure like that. My personal recommendation, based on what I've seen with other people, is that food is the answer. There's healing in your food. Food, let food be your medicine, you know, and medicine be your food. It's basically the answer to most ailments, and we need to distance ourselves from being so attached. And I know, Uncle Andy, in your specific instance, that you have had some good doctors and everything, but overall, there's a lot of doctors who are out there who are maybe not malicious in their heart or intent. They're just working the system the way that they've been raised or, you know, taught to work into the system. But overall, the system is set against us, and we need to think for ourselves, and we need to rise above the fear that the medical community might put on us, and take the time, don't be rushed, take the time to figure out what your options are and make an informed decision. And if you're going to go down the road of standard therapy, at the very least, you know, do so with in conjunction of the natural therapy so that your body can be strengthened to fight some of the battles that it's sure to fight, just being poisoned by chemo and radiation. That's my personal take on it.
You're right. You're 100% right.
You know, I know for myself, I could be told, you've got stage whatever cancer, it doesn't even matter. I would just proactively juice a lot of fruits and vegetables. I'd get off of all solid foods and, you know, get away from, like you did, sugars and meats, and, you know, maybe do apricot pits and, you know, different things, different cures that are out there. And like you did, a conjunction of several. You did the salts that you were squirting in your mouth, as well as eating lots of avocados and changing your diet that way, as well as doing the baking soda port. You know, this is something that you chose to do. That's a combination effort. It's not just one or two things. And I think that's smart, you know, because then you're attacking the cancer from so many different levels.
Well, one of the things that I did, I was, you know, one of these guys that had cereal for breakfast every morning and the milk, and just enjoyed that part of it. But I've changed to coconut milk. And believe me, it's a heck of a lot more nutritious for you, and it's also a very tasty type of milk with your cereal. So little things like that that you can change in your life that will make all the difference in the world.
Right, right. It's all about making changes and positive ones. And hopefully, for all the listeners out there, you're willing to make those changes proactively. In other words, change your diet now and don't allow, you know, yourself to get so far into the acidic realm that you're getting cancers or heart disease or other things. And I'm not a big believer in genetics are at role here. I think that's a big excuse for the most part. Yes, sometimes certainly genetics have a play, but we all have weak links, genetically speaking, but the whole reason that we're even having the sickness or disease in the first place is that we're deficient.
Yeah,
so
there's no question.
Get your body to where it's not deficient, and suddenly you don't have the issues. Suddenly,
right, I think the biggest thing there, Lisa, is the immune system, and I cannot state the importance of a person's immune system. If Western medicine would just make sure that the immune system of a person is tolerant to the treatment that they want to give them, they have a much better chance of making a recovery.
Right, right. I mean, there are certainly some factors that come into play for sure, but, you know, overall, you can build your immune system just by eating correctly in the first place. It all goes back to the same thing. Be proactive, you know, making good choices. Stop microwaving. Switch to, instead of drinking soda, drink water. Don't drink tap water. Go buy some purified water at the store. You can go to refill stations at most Whole Foods and vitamin cottages and places like that, and only spend like 25 cents a gallon. So we got to wrap up our show. Thank you so much, Uncle Lanny Pearson, for dropping in today. Thank you, Regular Girl. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everyone who's called in and participated today. I appreciate you dropping by the Truth Train. Don't miss me tomorrow. Don't forget to join the show tomorrow with Guerrilla Radio. And that will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 to 7 Mountain Standard Time, and 6 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you tomorrow on Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome.
Bye.
They are going to release a bioweapon that is going to kill almost everybody. Now I'm going to explain something to you. This is guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Your mentality has done a 180-degree flip. I think you like to get tied up and lashed with a whip. Strung upside down, a jack for your shit. Covered in feces with thumbtacks in your lip. That's what you get when you fuck with the king. Making the wrong move and get you stuck in the bing. God bless America's a song you should sing. You're dealing with child molesters in the pedophile ring. Everything's under heavy control, from your puppet president to your petty patrol. When they protect the infrastructure, they'll be ready to roll. Fuck a mortgage foreclosure, they will levy your soul. Communication giants are spying on you from Venus, and you think it's coincidental they own all the arenas. To know the outcome, it doesn't require genius. Verizon wireless services are interlinked with FEMA's. Toss on my side in the end, my friend. What do you got? Probably mercury-free flu shots. You ain't touching this without oven mitts. It is too hot. You have blown up in the patriot community, and it seems you've shown up with immunity at the gun rally in Austin. What you said to Blights wasn't nice, and your liar suit's Lawson. If I see you in New York, I hope you say something. I'm not Mike from ProThink. I will spray something. You're a fraud, and you can no longer mask that. You can get your bullhorn and your ass cracked. You're the chosen shepherd and deceiver, million-dollar patriot to make them all believers. The new world order star wide receiver, or just the ultimate fall guy like Jose.
Welcome in to the New World Order update. Today being June 11th, 2013. Thank you for joining me here on the program on Freedomizer Radio on a Tuesday. As the government continues to become more and more illegitimate, more and more criminal, more and more illegal, and those that defend it, you're getting a litmus test now with the press on whose side they are on, our side or the elite, criminal, secretive, Big Brother 1984 government side. We've seen the talking heads on MSNBC, on CNN, on Fox News. We've seen John Boehner. We have seen Lindsey Graham. I saw Ari Fleischer from the Bush administration. Everyone associated with the George W. Bush administration coming out and supporting the current puppeteer Obama administration on the government's illegal activities to spy on every single human being on the face of the planet using any electronic equipment. And that is the reality of the prison program and formerly the Echelon program, which has been in existence. They've been spying as long as we've had communications and prior to that. But the 1996 Telecommunications Act was when they mandated that one-fourth of the cell phones have tracking GPS systems in them. And then later on, to a certain date, that it was, I think it was 2001, required that all cell phones contain this information. And we have the prostitute media out there coming out and saying that this is a good thing and that this is to keep us secure, and it's not working anymore. You have a real split down party lines where you have liberals that actually, I guess, semi-care about civil liberties going out and, you know, criticizing Obama over this. You have libertarians, far-right Republicans criticizing this. There's even some people here locally that aren't really libertarians or that far out of the mainline Republican Party that are criticizing this and actually defending the actions of the whistleblower. And so you're seeing a real split, a real line in the sand. And Dr. DLB is right in the chat room. The ACLU has filed the first lawsuit against Obama. I saw Rand Paul on CNN with Anderson Cooper. Ron Paul was on with Piers Morgan last night. It was brilliant. And then Glenn Greenwald, who's been breaking all this, has been doing interviews, and he just destroyed the New World Order, you know, witch lady on MSNBC's Morning Joe the other day. I'll play a few of those clips here for you in a few minutes. I'm going to dial those up, maybe one or two. And she was reading a White House talking point memo, and Glenn Greenwald from The Guardian called her out on it. And they're trying to use all this, all these little legal games and legal code words about, well, it was legal. We got a secret ruling from a secret court. I'm sorry. The government is illegitimate. You don't have any kind of a republic or democratic government when they just have secret courts and secret laws and no one gets to look at them and the Constitution's just being urinated on. And the real question, as I posted on Facebook today, is not what are we – not the focus should not be on the whistleblower right now. The focus should be on the fact that the government has totally now lost any ounce of legitimacy or actual legal authorization to govern anymore at this point. We should have elected representatives who they're now claiming, oh, Congress knew about this. Oh, you know, they authorized this. Well, then they need to be in handcuffs as of right now, June 11th, 2013. And this is a message to the NSA Spy Center out in Utah that is intercepting and listening to this. You already know where I stand on this. You're in the Skype. You're in my Facebook. You're in my cell phone, just like you are everyone else. Here is my message to you. We are not backing down. We are not going anywhere. We've been aware that you've been listening to us now for years and years, and we have been operating as such, those in the anti-New World Order, anti-globalist movement, such as myself, this network, and many others. I hope you're listening. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. So let there be no confusion over where I stand when it comes to freedom versus tyrannical dictatorship, anti-freedom. We are not going anywhere. We are not backing down. This psyop to scare everyone out of talking, or it's not going to work. People are still going to say what they're going to say. And now a lot of the sheeple are realizing, and I'm going to get to something Dot DLB said in the chat room. Now a lot of the sheeple are realizing that, guess what? You may have told me in a private chat that, you know, you're scared to talk about it. Well, now you're realizing that it doesn't matter how secret you think your anti-government beliefs are, because we're all in the same boat now, buddy. Johnny, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And Judy, I'm going to not talk about politics. And you're crazy, Travis, for being out there saying what you're saying against the government. No, I'm sane. If I ever become properly adjusted to this sick society, this sick amount of tyranny, this sick amount of disgusting, illegal wiretapping, then just go ahead and shoot me, because I do not ever plan on becoming well adjusted. I will be upset. I will be outraged as long as this level of corruption and criminal activity against humanity continues on our watches while we're here alive. The real question, as Ron Paul said last night on Piers Morgan, what are we going to do with the traitors to the Constitution, to the Ari Fleischers, to the Gonzaleses that authorize torture that are out there talking about Key? What are you keeping us safe from? They literally sit there on the television and say, oh, we need these this $80 billion spying apparatus to watch everybody so we can stop the Fort Hoods and the Boston bombings. Yeah. That argument shot. Guys, your credibility is shot. We've got the videos with millions of views of Donald Rumsfeld and Colin Powell. Oh, we know where the weapons of mass destruction are. Oh, we're sure we. I never said I knew where they were. We know exactly where the weapons of mass, and it just goes on and on and on. And then you still have people that defend that lie when Bush came out and said, yeah, we were wrong about that, but Saddam was a bad guy, and that was his excuse. And they called us crazy years ago when we said the government is spying on everything, they're recording everything. Oh, you guys are crazy. Our government wouldn't do that. They don't have the. They don't. My favorite argument, and I actually heard this argument floated. It's not a common one, but I did hear this one today. The argument is floated that, we wouldn't be able. We don't have the technology to record and listen to everything anyway. How dumb, and how stupid do they think we are? We already know that the NSA centers is recording in the yottabytes. Look, it's no accident when. They have a flash drive that holds 2 gigabytes, and then next year they've got one that holds 8 gigabytes, and then the next year they've got one that holds 16 gigabytes. They've had that stuff, in my opinion, for 20 and 30 years. They just roll it out to the public whenever they see fit based on profits and graphs and profit margins for the tech companies. All that technology's been in existence for a long time. We just simply have it rolled out in time frames so we continue to buy it. You're not going to convince me that they all of a sudden were able to make a flash, a micro SD card that holds 60 gigabyte rather than 2 gigabyte. Oh, we just had this recent discovery in technology. Whatever. They have more than the amount of capability to record and store every single electronic data byte on the planet 10 times over and more. So that's a ridiculous and stupid argument. To anyone with a brain cell left. It was good to see the photos come out of Bilderberg where thousands upon thousands showed up. More than here in America, oddly. That was good. It was good to see people like David Icke and Alex Jones, who many would consider, there's a lot of people who listen to a David Icke who would never listen to an Alex Jones and vice versa. It was good to see a cross-section of people join together to fight the common enemy. That's what we need more of. And stop all this stupid infighting about, you know, what this person believes, and I don't quite believe we should do this way. None of that matters. We can all agree on what the main problems are. I want to get to a couple of articles. One of the things that's come out of this is Canada. This is out of the Star.com, U.S. Online Snooping, What Canadians Need to Know. The Toronto Star's Mitch Potter interviews Ronald Deibert, director of University of Toronto Citizen Lab. And he says, all the stunning revelations about the U.S. government's access of everything from phone calls to Facebook reminds me of a moment in Baghdad 11 years ago. During the final months of life under Saddam Hussein, I was staying where every foreign journalist was forced to stay, the Al-Rashid Hotel, which is basically a branch of the Iraqi intelligence agency. There were eyes and ears everywhere. At one point, another reporter unplugged the television in his room. It wasn't even turned on. And within minutes, there was a knock on the door with two men in black suits saying, sir, problem with your television. They insisted he plug it back in. In light of these new revelations, has the world become just one big Al-Rashid hotel? Ronald Deibert, yes, it has. Life is not only one giant Al-Rashid hotel, but it has been for a long time now. The difference now is that people are waking up to the fact and some of the details of what is going on beneath the surface of what we call cyberspace. The big question for Canadians in light of the latest news is, can the American government see everything we do? Is there a cyber border of any kind when it comes to digital communication? This is what people need to understand. No, Ron Deibert said, there is no border. The way telecommunications traffic is routed in North America, The fact of the matter is about 90% of Canadian traffic, no one really knows the exact number, is routed through the United States. It is an economic issue rather than a security issue, and I'm not going to spend the rest of the time on that. That is just one of many examples that this is not an American issue. This has nothing to do with the United States, other than the fact that we're one of the biggest perpetrators of these kind of policies. There's that article, if you want to look at it, just showing you that Canada is right there with us. That there are no borders. There are no borders when it comes to corporations. There are no borders when it comes to war, unless you're a Middle Eastern country that doesn't have a central bank. There are no borders when it comes to culture. We already have post-birth abortion being defended in Canada. We already have specific cases of women who have killed their babies after giving birth within days and that have been acquitted of murder charges. That has happened in Canada. That will move into the United States. We're all under the same property codes. We have this so-called foreign, what is it called? The foreign court, foreign something, whatever, spy court, that they said gave them the legal authority to do this. Some kangaroo court that says it's okay that the Fourth Amendment is being violated. And I will say this. I got a sick satisfaction out of the rest of the people actually being told that what we've been telling them and warning them about, and that it doesn't matter, you might as well go ahead and speak out against the government, because even if you're, quote, not doing anything wrong, they don't like you. If you're not corrupt, they don't like you. Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with speaking out against the government. This is everyone now. It isn't just us anymore. We're just the ones that are smart enough to know that since they're listening to everything, you might as well just go ahead and throw it back in their face. That has been my position for years now. And let there be no confusion over where I stand on these issues. And as I've seen, and I know a lot of people in the chat follow, you know, or I'm friends with on Facebook, as I've stated many times, the next little smug, I'm so happy and I'm so, you know, proud to admit that I like to be spied on. Okay, I'll take all your passwords for your Facebook and your email accounts then. Please hand them over. You don't have anything to hide, right? Oh, you don't want me to have your email password. Why? Well, I just, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not a terrorist or anything, but I mean, that's private, and I wouldn't want, you know, just some random person looking at it. Oh, really? You wouldn't just want me or some other random person looking at it, but you're okay with a random person looking at it as long as they work for a defense contractor, not even technically for the government? Because I'm going to read some quotes in a minute. Because that is the truth about this situation with PRISM, with these programs. Any individual that works like this guy that made $200,000 a year and less, Edward Snowden, can actually specifically target an individual and read everything and listen to everything. That article is out of the Economic Collapse. Edward Snowden quotes that should send a chill up your spine. I'm going to read a couple of these. There's the link to you in the chat room. The one I was talking about specifically that I posted today, number 7. Any analyst at any time can target anyone. Any selector anywhere. I, sitting at my desk, had the authorities to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge to the president. They are intent on making every conversation and every form of behavior in the world known to them. There's another word for this, for what we're seeing here, that myself and ABC use quite a bit. That's the Matrix. That's the Matrix. And this is what you're seeing is the real, real life Matrix. If you have any thoughts on any of this and would like to get in, the number is 347-324-3704. We'll take your perspective unfiltered as long as it's not very profane or anything. To get into a couple of other articles, I posted that one for you in the chat room. It's got a lot of quotes from Snowden. Former CIA analyst, Snowden did the right thing. These links are also up on my Twitter at NWO Update. Ron Paul, NSA leakers, the real heroes. Telegraph ran an article today. Edward Snowden and the prison scandal show that Ron and Rand Paul were right all along. Imagine that. Oh, the Mitt Romney supporters aren't admitting that yet, though. You know, Mitt Romney was on Fox News the other day. Me and my wife happened to be watching that. Oh, you know, we've got to protect national security. Your security. They are protecting themselves. And as Ron Paul pointed out, one of the boards on there defending this spying program, you can tell who the criminals and non-criminals are based on who's defending it. And I'm going to play some clips in the second half. And if we have some calls, we'll take those too. If not, I'll continue to rant and rave. But he said, we're having this discussion, and as Ron Paul pointed out, we wouldn't be having this discussion if it wasn't for someone doing something that you're saying is traitorous, illegal, and that he needs to be in prison for the rest of his life. There wasn't a conversation about what you were doing that was illegal without a whistleblower. So the defender of the program proved the point that he was making about having a discussion about it. There would be no discussion about it if it weren't for whistleblowers. Because it was being done in the secret, just like the Nazis did everything. Just like the Soviets did. Of course, they would write it down on paper. They just wouldn't make it quite as secret as we did. They would be a little more open about it. U.S., AP, U.S. has no plans to end broad surveillance program. Yeah, do you think they're going to end any unconstitutional, illegal activity because you don't like it, because the people don't like it? Yeah, how'd that work out for Obamacare, the bailouts? And the clips, I meant to dial up a lot of clips tonight and did not have the chance. But the clips of Obama in 2007 and 2008 are absolutely priceless. About, we're going to end all Bush's wiretapping. We're going to put an end to all this secrecy in government. We're going to put an end to this wiretapping. I mean, that was a pretty bad Obama impression. I don't do a really good Obama impression, but it's insane to watch his old stuff just to see what a liar this guy is. And again, I heard a talking head defend, well, you know, I think Obama was a little bit naive. No, he's a liar, just like the rest of them. He's saying what he has to say to get elected because moron, idiot Americans still believe things that politicians say. Well, this is, and I keep hearing this ridiculous argument about how we've got to balance security and our civil liberties. We've got to have a balance. No, we don't. There is no balance. The Bill of Rights makes that balance very clear. And it's, you're either in violation of that or you're not. That's the balance. It's an even balance. This is what the Bill of Rights say. This is what the Constitution says. That you got to have probable cause and a warrant, and that we are, our papers, our property, our homes, our data, is protected. That's an absolute. This isn't, and one, it might have been Ari Fleischer said, well, we all understand that once the war on terror began, that things have changed. Yeah, I understand things have changed, but they do not make them right. Slavery was legal. That didn't make it right. Everything Hitler did was technically legal, but it didn't make it right. And one of the criticisms against Obama was that he didn't have enough experience. If he was so naive, then that criticism would have been proven true. What you have is an $80 trillion taxpayer-funded snooping spy system set up to watch you go hungry, lose your job, and bitch about it and try to figure out how you're going to live while they watch you and laugh. And the NSA data center out in Utah has 600 generators to make sure it doesn't go offline. Meanwhile, our infrastructure and bridges fall apart. They got a spying system set up to sit there, I guess, and laugh while we go broke as a nation and lose everything. They've got plenty of money to provide generators, and not to mention the amount of greenhouse gases those NSA snooping centers are emitting. Let's not talk about that, how much energy they're wasting and the amount of power those things are using. But the arguments, the talking heads on television, they're failing. They're ridiculous. We have to keep America secure. Stuff doesn't work. You didn't keep America secure from Fort Hood. You didn't keep America secure from the Boston bombing. Where was your prison program? Those guys had cell phones. Those guys were leaked going in and out of the country. They were being interviewed by the FBI. That argument doesn't fly. As I said on Facebook, the government is between a rock and a hard place. You can't have it both ways anymore. You take your pick, government. Either your $80 billion spying apparatus is broke and doesn't work and is a failure, and we want our refund back, our money back, for your so-called security you're supposed to be providing us. I'm sure the people that had their legs blown off in Boston would like some of their taxpayer money back. You guys have bomb-sniffing dogs and sniper shooters on the roof and an $80 billion electronic spying system that records every piece of data, and you can't figure out who these guys are and you need our help identifying them. Fort Hood, you can't stop that. He doesn't have a cell phone or a computer. So now, government, statist, you got to explain to me, you take your pick. You're either allowing these terrorist events to happen or staging them and carrying them out yourself, or your entire so-called security apparatus to keep us safe is a failure and a scam. No, your security apparatus is a feeble attempt to keep you and your illegal activities secret and to try to crush any dissidents or people that speak out. That's why you're using your proxy, the collection agency for the Federal Reserve, the IRS, to target political groups. This government has now, at all aspects, in all branches, lost any legitimate ability to govern. It has lost every bit, every ounce of any legitimacy. It again has urinated and ripped up the Constitution, and any elected representative that was aware of these programs should be in handcuffs and should be indefinitely detained under the NDAA Act, which they passed themselves. for crimes against the American people. I would even say I'll be a little fair, more fair than they are. If they voted no against the NDAA and they were involved and aware of this spying program, then I will grant them a lawyer in a trial. If they voted for the NDAA, then we'll just hold them. The American people reserves the right for a refund on their taxes, total, including the so-called debt owed to the private Federal Reserve. And we will keep you detained until further notice, similar to how Bradley Manning was kept disappeared for 2 years. By the way, not a single press pass issued for his court-martial. Yeah, as they're saying in the chat room, some people were in Gitmo for over 10 years. But I saw where they were working on a job training program for those people. Isn't that nice? That's cute. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break here. You're listening to FreedomizerRadio.com. You're listening to the New World Order Update. That Twitter account is NWO Update. That's over at Twitter. That's where the links to these articles are, where you can follow me and my research and work. You are listening to FreedomizerRadio.com. We'll take a short break. We'll be back on the other side with some clips and your phone calls if you'd like to join us at 347-324-3704. This is the Trevino One Show, the NWO Update. We will be right back.
Because what they're talking about in these books is the annihilation of self-preservation through scientific techniques and inoculations and altering the food and obviously the water too.
You bought a shovel as a bowl before. That's what the fuck you're rolling for. You ain't got the heart to come in this small because I stole it all.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain and in Bella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
No, first of all, the premise makes absolutely no sense. This is the same argument that we used to have during the Bush years when they got caught eavesdropping on the conversations of Americans without first going to the FISA court and getting warrants, when they would say, well, this program stops terrorist attacks. But it never made any sense, because if they actually had a terrorist in sight, they could have just gone to the FISA court, gotten a warrant, presented evidence that this person was a terrorist, and then eavesdropped anyway. Exactly the same is true here. If the government really believes that somebody is engaged in terrorist activity, they could go to the FISA court, or they could go to the internet companies, and they could say, we have reason to believe this person is guilty of something. You should let us read their emails and surveil them in real time. That's not what the government is doing. They instead are having direct access into the servers of these companies, which means there's no limitation on abuse or checks on what it is they're doing. And every time the government gets caught doing something like this, they just scream the word terrorist enough times, hoping that people will get scared enough and simply want to vest the power in the government to do whatever it is they want in the dark. And it's time that we think rationally about what these claims are and not just accept them. All right, what about that? Well, number one, nobody listened in on those conversations. It is a program very similar to the one the president has, President Obama has, except you have to have a foreign connection to it. And then they gather broad data just like this one. I just want to correct that. But, you know, the fundamental notion of is it good for this country if the United States government collects massive information and attempts to provide small numbers of individual people who could do us harm? You know, it reminds me, Anderson, of other things we've accepted in life, such as going through airports. All innocent people go through metal detectors. Innocent people take off their shoes. Why? To find an occasional one or two bad people. And frankly, we haven't had that happen this year. We prevented the bad people from doing it because we make the good people go through. My point is, we have broad programs designed to catch the few. When it comes to keeping us safe in the war on terror, I think the president's program, President Obama's program, is the right one, the good one. All right, why are some Republicans who support this then not supporting the idea of, you know, if you buy a gun, having a register of who's buying a gun? I mean, if that seems to be a you know, too much of an intrusion, which I understand that argument, a lot of people say that's too much of an intrusion, why is that an intrusion but this not? Look, I don't know what that comparison is on that, and I think you have to ask that to the people who hold that point of view. Everybody has a different view on that. I'm proud on this one to defend President Obama because I think he's continuing those policies he's kept us safe. Glenn, is it akin to the, you know, the GSA technocracy? Does it really require any effort to see why it's massively, radically different to take off your shoes when you go through a metal detector versus having the government be able to scroll through your private emails and listen in on your telephone conversations? That difference is obvious. We put. But I'm saying though, no one's listening in on telephone. Can I finish the PRISM program that we're talking about, Anderson, that I reported on, is a program in which the United States government goes directly into the servers of companies like Facebook and Skype in order to surveil in real time both text and telephone conversations. The Verizon program, which is the one that you just referenced, is the one in which the government collects all of our phone records so that we can always, that they will always know with whom we're speaking, where we are when we're having those conversations. And really, the ultimate question is, we have a society, a government, that operates almost entirely in the dark while knowing virtually everything about us. And when governments can operate almost entirely in the dark, what you get is a government full of RA fighters who can go before the world and spew falsehoods. There's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Saddam Hussein has an alliance with Osama bin Laden. When government officials operate in secret, they abuse their power. Abuses happen time and time again. Well, first of all, I'm not going to make this personal. It was a good policy debate to be engaged in. And I'm proud, actually, as a Republican, to be backing what President Obama has done. And what I'm most proud of is that we now have 16 years of a bipartisan template to be able to succeed President Obama to continue. And one of the reasons we have not suffered another 9/11 is because we are vigilant and have these important programs in place. But all things lead to, I mean, things that are not out in the public, the things that do have available secretly can end up easily being abused. I mean, people can end up having phone conversation. And that's why this is a good debate to have, and it's an incumbent on the president to defend it. We always take that argument to an extreme. There should be no classified information in the government whatsoever. Military, CIA, there should be no secrets. You'll go to get the monument, you probably reported when a helicopter takes off. There is a legitimacy to government secrecy. It's how we keep ourselves safe. Go ahead, I want you to be able to comment on that, and I got one more question for you. I'll find an area of agreement with Ari Spicer, which I didn't think was possible. I think he's right that we should debate it. And the only reason we are debating it is because there was a source or sources within the United States government who saw what the government was doing, collecting all of our phone records without any evidence of wrongdoing, tapping directly into the servers of the largest internet giant and eavesdropping on those conversations with no oversight or checks of any kind, and decided that our fellow citizens should be warned about what it was that we're doing precisely so we can have this debate. And that's why whistleblowers like that should be praised and not prosecuted, because it's what enables journalists to then shine a light on those programs so that we can have the debate that both Ari Fleischer and I agree we should be having.
All right.
All right, back here on Freedomizer Radio. That was Glenn Greenwald who broke the story. Hopefully you can hear me back again. I'm going to make sure I was kind of did that a different way than I normally do, so I'm going to make sure my mic and everything is back on and working. Looks like it is, so... you're welcome to call in. It's 347-324-3704 and speak with us here on the show. And what I love, and I posted today that I love, is that, and Jay's talking about it in the chat room, and we're having a lot of good chat, is that he's saying, they're focused on the fact, they're making it about him. They're making it about the whistleblower. When we really have had multiple whistleblowers. Alex Jones had an NSA whistleblower on his show that said the same thing last year. We've had whistleblowers for over a decade now about what's going on with this program. That's nothing new. So they're trying to make it about him and did he break the law to deflect away from the massive, this is the biggest scandal in our lifetime, in American history. That is the bottom line. And it's funny listening to that clip to Greenwald on CNN, because it sounds like something you would have heard on Freedomizer Radio 2 years ago. And having said that, it looks like I've got the owner of Freedomizer Radio here at the end of the program. I've got proof negative on the line, it looks like. I'm going to be bringing you up proof. You should be live on air. How's it going?
Oh, I'm adequate here. You're about to steal my thunder, which is fine. I was going to go pretty heavy on NSA stuff today myself. I just don't understand how everybody is calling this guy a traitor in the Senate and Congress. What sense of being a traitor is warning everybody that the NSA is usurping 20 trillion phone calls since October 2001?
Yeah, I mean, you just got a citizen who...
said it correctly, Travis. You and I were here on the front lines 2, 3, 4 years ago saying that Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint were all giving their phone records to the government. So why is it a surprise 4 years later?
Yeah, and I looked at one of the charts, and I remember when we talked about how Skype was secure for a little while, and then they had decided that they weren't going to be secure, and the dates didn't quite match up. But I remember when we were talking about, or at least I was, and you were too, you've covered this for years too, we all have, and when Skype had decided that they weren't going to, they were going to stop being secure, and they were going to sell their data and open themselves up, and then you've got all these companies like Facebook and Google and Skype and Yahoo that are out there denying that there's, and see, people have to understand the computer world. They're denying that they have direct access to their servers. They don't have to have direct access. They can have indirect access through a third party. The bottom line is that they have authorized access.
Right, and especially for the fact that years ago people used to laugh when they asked me why I didn't have a cell phone, and now those same people are saying, well, you're just afraid that someone's monitoring your conversations just like they are at work. Well, yeah, I don't want anybody taking my freedom away. I don't care if I have anything that isn't illegal to say. But then again, with the radio show, anything I say can and will be used against me.
Yeah, that was the perspective I was coming from and that I'm trying to tell other people. It doesn't matter if you've been silent or you think that's going to make you safer. They don't like good people, whether you're doing, because anything they consider, you're doing something wrong if you are good, really, in their eyes. If you do consider yourself a good person.
Well, the average person breaks 3 laws a day.
Yeah.
Well, just think, how many yellow lights do you run in a day?
Yeah, or is there anyone that can honestly say that they're sure that their taxes are done correctly when it's, what, like 20,000 pages, the code is?
Yeah, and most states have it illegal where you can't talk and hold your cell phone at the same time, but you could be on your Verizon phone and someone can say, are you okay to drive? And it's like, yeah, no cops are around. And guess what? If they're listening to you in real time, they know where your house is. They could sit there and wait for you.
Yeah, and let me
ask
you
this. Not saying they would do it, but they could if they had a reason to trace you.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Have you run into any people that are pretty proud about that they don't have anything to hide and they like
it
and they don't mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the same people that told me that this monitoring didn't exist.
Isn't it interesting how when, and I know we go over this, isn't it interesting how when it didn't exist, the concept that if it did exist was crazy? Like, if it did exist, that would be crazy, but now that it does exist, it's not crazy anymore. Well, you know, so what? Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm still crazy because I'm worried about it.
Yeah, and I can
Well, I would be worried, too, if people are threatening the death penalty on somebody just for announcing that it's been proven that the government is spying on you.
Yeah. And
he
you
did
know,
it
like
the
David
right way,
said,
though. He didn't tell people before he went ahead and did it, and he didn't stay in the United States. He got about as far away as you could and just put it on blast and say, here.
Yeah, what I like
he
about
didn't want
how
to be Andrew
handled,
Breitbarted, and I can't blame him.
Yeah, what I like about how he handled it, it looks like he really spent a long time preparing how to roll this out, and it looks like he has a whole long-term plan, you know, by going to Hong Kong, doing that television interview. Then he was checked out of that hotel. You know, I saw where Russia was offering him asylum, possibly Iceland. So he definitely has a plan in place and knows how serious this is. He knows what he's dealing with. And, yeah, I saw the guy on Fox News call for his assassination. They were actually calling for his assassination. They could just drone strike him.
And nobody is defending this guy in the lamestream media, which is sad. Everybody's on Barry's side, and they're not asking who allowed these leaks.
Well, hey, what
do you
think
about
all?
They're not saying who allowed this policy to take place. They're not worried about all that, which is surprising to me because this is something you can actually blame Bush on.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
definitely.
They would want to get to blame Bush another time.
Well, what do you think about all the neocon Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and John Bonner came out today and said that he was a traitor? Ari Fleischer, that clip I played of him, you got the whole entire Bush administration.
Yeah.
They've been rolled out on television. I saw Gonzalez was on. He was on defending the NSA. They've put on a full court press. Again, MSNBC. Same way, and it's really kind of falling apart on them. And you know, a point I want to make too. I don't know if you were able to see the Alex Jones BBC where he was on the political show on BBC One about Bilderberg Group.
Oh, and the guy told him to shut up.
Yeah, and one of the guys, yeah, he told him to shut up and made fun of him. But one of the guy's points was, well, if Bilderberg is so bad, then why are you not dead? Well, okay, look at this whistleblower. Why is he in Hong Kong? You know, I mean, he's a real whistleblower. It's not like Alex Jones has released sensitive documents like the Mayak report, and he's gotten his hands on different things. But, I mean, this is somebody that, I mean, these whistleblowers are in danger. I mean, this guy's sitting here acting like the Bilderberg doesn't exist or that they don't have any power or that Alex would be dead. They can't kill Alex Jones right now. That would be the worst thing they could possibly do, as he pointed out. I mean,
right.
this stuff is
Yeah, why do you think Ron Paul is still alive?
Yeah, why is Bradley Manning not walking around free if this stuff isn't real? I mean, he was disappeared for 2 years.
Right. And he still disappeared.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I heard one of the media the other day say there has not been a single press pass issued for his trial, for his military tribunal. And it's sad that a country like Russia has to offer asylum to someone from the United States or Iceland or Hong Kong. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, that just... And I think Ron Paul had a good point that, and I talked about it earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard me, that the real debate should be what are we going to do with the criminals within government and the NSA that have broken laws of the Constitution and that knowingly knew this was going on, even these secret judges, what are we going to do with them? What are their consequences? When are we going to prosecute them? That is the real debate. What are we going to do with the criminals within government now that we have exposed them? And again, I said earlier, and I know I'm radical, considering most of them, they all should be in handcuffs. If there's any members that knew about this, elected representatives, they should be arrested. This is a clear violation of the First, Fourth, Ninth Amendments. I mean, I could go on and on with how much law is being broken here with these programs.
Hey, there was a piece by the Daily Current, which is, I want to say this is a satire piece, but all in all, this could realistically be true. They have an article of John McShane saying that they need to invade Hong Kong in order to get this guy. The sad thing is, we can't tell if it's a true or not true article. I know that this article is fake, but they could be writing this, and John McShane is thinking, dang, my cover just got blown.
I would love nothing more than to see John McCain suit up in an Army Ranger suit because he wants to get into Syria so bad and jump out of an airplane into Syria with an M16 and take on Assad himself. That's my wish for McCain.
I'm still worried about people your age having to be drafted and go into a useless war. I'll be 41 in a few months, so I don't know how useful I would be, but I'm worried about more people in your age range.
Well, maybe they can just draft our little girls since we've got to have all this equality and political correctness. We can just draft them.
Hey, I was going to ask you, Travis, did you see an article... because I have not been able to verify this. I read two sources, and I think one probably sourced the other. But China is looking at paying Costa Rica $1.5 billion for the right to put a military base in Costa Rica.
I haven't seen information on that, but that would almost make sense to me in a weird way because I've known people that have moved to Costa Rica, and I've researched some of that, and apparently it's pretty – easy to live free down there. They don't have quite the bureaucracy.
Costa Rica has no military whatsoever.
Yeah, and they don't have the bureaucracy and all the there's no ATF, there's no EPA, the building codes are a lot.
It's almost like here's the Ten Commandments. Other than that, we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where isn't that where McAfee, the software giant guy, moved I think he moved down there. Yeah. To escape, or an area like Hong Kong where you've got, pretty much a free economic zone, and, there's pushes out in the...
Well, they say Hong Kong's one of the easiest places in the world to open a business.
Yeah, what a concept, and, you've got the people in northern Colorado, and I know we don't have time to get into it, the counties that are wanting to create their own state to have, an economic free zone, so they can drill and do some different things. I mean, can you imagine in 2 years' time the amount of free market and the amount of businesses that would flock to an area with zero, basically government red tape to go in and run business and make money? I mean, it would be amazing. I would love to see the experiment.
You would laugh,
happen,
but Southern California after Los Angeles County wants to do the same thing. Places like San Bernardino and Riverside and San Diego and Oceanside, et cetera, want to be able to handle the immigration policy on their own instead of getting orders from San Francisco and who are telling them that there's no such immigration problem. And San Diego, Riverside, and San Bernardino County want to be a state by themselves so that they can deal with immigration as well as they don't want to be responsible for the rest of the state's shortcomings as far as financial burden is concerned.
That's hard for me to believe based on, like, the videos I've seen Mark Dice do in California. Like, it seems like the most brain-dead part of the country imaginable.
Yeah.
I could be wrong there. Maybe there's some smart people, and I mean, obviously there's probably some awake people.
I don't know. You have Northern California, you have Chicago, and you have Manhattan. I don't know which is better or worse.
Hey, I want to hear you talk about the festival in case that the how do you pronounce it? The Coachella
Festival. Oh, the Coachella
Festival.
I used to go there every year, and I used to talk about it. And
have you already covered the RFID story out there?
Yeah, but I could go over it again. I don't know how you are on time. If you want to come on for a few minutes and discuss it, my guest canceled today, and my co-host is feeling sick, so it's just me.
Yeah, I just got the 90 seconds warning and didn't realize we were up against that
All right, I'll get
close.
Out of here. Thank you for letting me in, and I'll be on in just a few minutes. If you feel like holding over, Travis, we could switch places for a few.
Okay, I may be able to do that. Thanks, Proof. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Okay. That's Proof Negative, the owner of the network. His show is coming up in about 30 seconds. If you're in the chat room, if you're on the website, you're going to need to refresh within the next minute or two. He'll play some music, give you some time on. You are listening to the New World Order update on Freedomizer Radio. Thank you to ABC. This is his original slot on his show. Make sure to check out his shows here on the network and all the other shows. Thanks for listening, folks. It's been fun, and we'll see you next time.
He signed a bill that gave amnesty to undocumented immigrants. He grew the size of the federal government and the budget, added a whole new cabinet-level agency, and added tens of thousands of government workers to the federal payroll. He tripled the deficit. He bailed out and expanded Social Security with a big, fat tax increase. He raised corporate taxes by hundreds of billions of dollars. He raised taxes on gasoline. He, in fact, signed into law the largest tax increase in history. He supported federal handgun controls. He called for a world without nuclear weapons. He was Ronald Reagan.